The Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by MyBookie.ag. Winning season back at MyBookie, and now they're now offering 100% deposit bonus when you use the promo code SGP. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code SGP to play, win, and get paid. We're also brought to you by BetQL. Want an advantage over the sports book with an NBA, NHL, college football, MLB, and NFL all back in action? You need to download BetQL, the only app you'll need to make smart bets this season. Head to BetQL.co and enter code SGP20 for 20% off your first subscription. That's BetQL.co, promo code SGP20. And we're also brought to you by Ace per Head. Ace is the leader in paperhead providers, and they make it super easy to style your own sportsbook. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free over at aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This is Boston Capper here with my co-host and the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer. What's up, Steve? You ready for this?
Yeah, I'm. I think I'm ready. I mean, I think I'm ready to bet more on this tournament and then barely watch it like I did last week at the Corrales. I don't know about you, but I maybe logged an hour of watching. That's probably more than a lot of people did.
Yeah, that's probably generous too. I mean, I probably watched it for like 45 minutes, if that. I was fucking dead to rights with all my DFS by early Friday, and there's no reason to even try to find that thing on the TV show on the TV after that. I was like, forget it, and move my attention to DFS football. But I mean, overall, it was what we thought it was, right? Birdie fest, crappy.
Yeah, field, yeah. I mean, kind of a crappy winner. You know, congratulations to Hudson Swafford and. Yeah. You know, he basically gets a stay of execution from the governor for, another 2 years.
Hey, that's sweet, man, though. You know what I mean? Like, it's good for some of these guys. You know what I mean? Like, be able to get that 2 year exemption and in this fall swing and go against these weak groups. I mean, this week's field isn't much better. I mean, it's better, but it's not much better. Like, it's the same thing. And like, there's guys out there who need like certain type of finishes and to get their CAD and stuff. So at least that's entertaining value of it. But yeah, whatever. It was a crappy tournament. We knew it was. It was straight for betting and DFS, and yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, some of the appeal of these fall tournaments is usually when the Corn Ferry guys graduate. You know, they're jockeying for a position because those guys really need the points in order to make sure they keep their card. Now, without the guys kind of graduating in, it takes a little bit of the shine off it because a lot of these guys are just basically retreads who don't really have a lot of business being on the PGA Tour anyways. But you know what? Good for him. He went through a lot of injuries. He won, I think, the Desert Classic back in 2017. It looked like he was going to kind of put it all together. Injuries got in the way, but you know what? We saw last year when Brendan Todd was also kind of dead to rights, won the Bermuda Championship. Maybe this is what propels Hudson Swafford to new heights.
That seems like a very optimistic view of what Swafford's going to turn into. Big Z turned it on Sunday. I think he needs a top six this weekend to go ahead and get his card. Because like, guys like that, like you said, are the ones who get screwed because of COVID, not being able to graduate from the Corn Ferry. Like, that sucks. Like, what happens to the poor guy who would have graduated and now, you know, whatever, his swing falls apart next year and never make it. Like, terrible. So other than that golf tournament, man, do any NFL DFS this weekend? You want to talk about Daniel Jones?
I mean, does the audience want to hear me go angry, Steve?
Yeah, again? Everybody loves angry Steve, man.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to go angry Steve, because I think I've already gotten out most of my rage at my television set on Sunday. But you know what? It just I don't know what to say anymore. Like, I mean, it's been this way for about 4 years now. I mean, it seems like they've just been rebuilding and rebuilding. And so I was listening to a Giants podcast this morning, basically trying to torture myself on the way to work. And they went through the roster of, you know, just like, you know, where are the holes in this roster? And it turns out, I mean, turning to analysis, and I completely agree that we're deficient at quarterback, offensive line, wide receiver, a pass rush, outside linebacker, and quarterback. And that's like six major areas of a football team. And the fact that Dave Gettleman has had 3 years and we're still awful in all these positions, like, Like, what hope is there? Like, I mean, we're going to have to rebuild again. We're probably going to have to get a new quarterback. I mean, I hope I do. I've never been a Daniel Jones fan. I know there's been a couple people, a couple of our co-hosts or our employees who, you know, they're all high on Danny Dimes and everything. But I've always thought he was a fraud. You know, he's basically turning out to be everything I thought he was. He's a bad version of Mitch Trubisky. He's Jameis Winston. I mean, he can't even perform a simple pitch without fumbling the ball. That interception he threw was terrible. And all, and like, there's a lot of people I see on Reddit of like, oh, you know, he's got nothing around him. Well, I saw a couple times in that game, he had a clean pocket and he was just missing guys. He had Evan Engram wide open on like a 15 yard slant and missed him by like 5 or 6 yards. Like, it's just, the dude just doesn't have it. I mean, like, if you get in the clean pocket, yeah, he can make some, you know, some throws, but I think it's just because we got all excited seeing him hit a 15 yard slant when we, you know, Eli Manning couldn't hit, like, you know, he could barely throw 20 yards.
He could throw in the fucking ocean.
We think he's the next Jesus Christ, but right. You know, I mean, he's got a decent arm, but he's got average accuracy, below average deep ball accuracy, horrible, horrible decision-making. You can't teach that. So, back to drawing board again.
Look, it could be worse. You could have Sam Darnold. Like, he's fucking better than Sam Darnold.
Yeah, but I can at least make a case for Sam Darnold, the fact that he really doesn't have anything to throw to. Like, I mean, listen, like, I'm not just saying, like, the Giants wide receivers and pass catchers are the all-stars.
Tate, Evan Engram, like, I mean, those guys are good to throw to Daniel Jones. Fine. But for Darnold, like, Berrios was his best receiver this week.
Yeah, he has absolutely nothing. Practice squad
from the Pats.
Yeah, and he has a head coach who I think is just, he's a zombie. Yeah,
he's the worst coach in the league.
He is terrible.
He is the worst coach.
He's worse than any coach the Giants have had the last 4 years. And that's saying,
what's his name? The too big a suit guy. What was his name? McAdoo.
Oh yeah. Even McAdoo. I mean, this guy is just, he's a zilch.
Yeah. He's terrible. He had that one good season with Peyton and he somehow rode that to the Miami job. And of course the Jets hired him after being terrible in Miami. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand how this guy still has a job when they lose to Denver, because they're going to lose to Denver on Thursday. Like, if he's, I don't understand how he can keep his job after Thursday.
I mean, he's going to lose to what? Isn't Mark Rippon's son?
Yeah. Yeah. It's his nephew.
His nephew. Okay. Yeah. I saw the name. I'm just, me like, too. Oh my God.
I Googled it. I was like, is that Mac Rippon's kid? I was like, yeah. Shit. Mac Rippon was a quarterback when I was fucking knee high. Listen, man, it can only go up from here for you, right?
I mean, it might take a while, but sure, I guess.
Come on, buddy. Fuck up, man.
Listen, if I'm going to be optimistic about Hudson Swafford, you can be optimistic about the Giants. I appreciate that. All right, thanks, man, for being nice to me.
Just trying to pick you up, buddy. All right. So, like, we already talked about the shitty tournament, whatever. We're on to the next one, right? I got absolutely blanked. I have never blanked in DFS. I fucking blanked because I was drunk and I put a whole bunch of shit in on Wednesday night. That is not ideal. So there's my message to the kids out there. Don't drink in DFS unless you're doing flash drafting, which is I wholly support. It is the best thing out there right now. And now we're going down to Mississippi, right? So talk to me a little bit about the course, man. What are we looking at?
Well, I mean, even though we kind of just ripped on, you know, Punta Cana, there is a little bit of things you can carry forward, because if you look at some of the trends and like some of the ways that golfers score at the Country Club of Jackson, they're pretty similar. And we'll talk about it in a little bit. But first, let me talk about, you know, the history of the golf course, kind of how it's set up. So the Country Club of Jackson was first established in 1914 by a group of wealthy businessmen. In the 1960s, it was relocated to its current site, which it is today. In 2008, a guy named John Fott, he gave the golf course a pretty significant renovation. It's not a Donald Ross golf course, but he wanted to make it a Donald Ross golf course. So, you know, as far as John Fott's background, he used to be a PGA Tour player, pretty nondescript. He finished fifth in the 1983 PGA Championship. Other than that, you know, he was kind of a Hudson Swafford. You know, we're just going to keep piling on that guy. But afterwards, you know, he developed a pretty nice golf architecture company. You know, he doesn't have a lot of big names in his portfolio, but one of the biggest names he has in there is a place called Pine Needles. That's a nice golf course in the Pinehurst area. Other than that, he's developed some pretty fine golf courses. As far as this one, I mean, he did about as good as you can do to this piece of property. You know, there's definitely some Donald Ross features in it, and there's some narrow fairways. Pretty tricky, you know, fairway bunkers, you kind of are a little bit of a nuisance. Nice dog legs, some raised greens. But overall, I mean, it's a pretty flat piece of property. You had to move a lot of dirt in order to kind of make it a
Donald
swamp
Rust. Down there.
This is an example of kind of having to force the land in order to be a golf course. And sometimes it doesn't really work out too much, too well. And honestly, I mean, it's a pretty unremarkable golf course for a pretty unremarkable tournament. There's just a couple of cool holes. 15 is drivable par four. It's 330 yards. In the layup zone, though, there's a pretty large bunker and the fairway narrows. So most of the guys have to go for the green. So that's pretty cool. 10 is a long par three. It's kind of always tricky, starting off your nine on par three. Some of these guys are going to start up on 10 on Thursday. It'll be a little awkward. But, overall, it's definitely not one of the most exciting golf courses. It's not going to really pop on your television screen. So, other than that, that's basically about it.
Can you imagine a more racist place in the 1960s than a country club in fucking Mississippi?
Oh my God. I mean, I'm surprised.
Can you imagine the people who belong to that club? Oh my God.
I'm surprised this tournament has been canceled already.
Holy shit. Like it just dawned on me. I was like, 1960s Mississippi. That's all I was thinking about was Mississippi burning. And that wasn't even in the 60s. That was after the 60s. Fuck. Like, anyway, sorry to our Mississippi listeners. You guys probably don't have phones down there, so it's fine.
We're gonna get some hate mail.
Maybe we'll see. Whatever. Who cares? All right. So DraftKings is pretty top heavy this week. But before we jump into the DraftKings and start breaking down the tiers like we normally do. Listen, unless you've been living under a rock, the NFL's back. The NBA playoffs are in full swing, which mean only one thing. It's winning season at MyBookie. Regardless whether you've been betting for years or ready to play for the first time, MyBookie is the best bet this season. With the biggest online selection of bets and props, they've made it simple to win and easy to withdraw your cash. Right now, they've got a $100,000 super contest for only a $10 entry, and they're giving away $5,000 in cash prizes every 4 weeks. You'd be crazy not to invest your sports knowledge with that kind of potential in return. $10 to win thousands? Sign me up. You too can sign up at MyBookie. Just use the promo code SGP to claim your $100 deposit match all the way up to $1,000. That means if you put in $100, they'll give you another $100. It's an easy way to jumpstart your bankroll. NFL, NBA, and MLB, they've got it all. Tap in so it's never too late to start getting on your winning season exclusively at mybookie.ag. That's mybookie.ag, promo code SGP. All right, man. So $10,000 range. We only got four now.
I know. I'm sorry about that.
Only got four. Louis was going to withdraw.
I had to beg Boston Kaepernick to do this podcast. He was so heartbroken that Louis was withdrew. I am so sorry.
Listen, I'm just happy he did it pre-tournament, right? And didn't show up in Mississippi and took a walk onto the first tee box. I was like, nah, never mind. I'm not going to play because that has happened to me twice. Look, it's pretty cut and dry. Scotty Scheffler, M, Willie Z, and Ben. Been on at $10,000. All right. So, I mean, obviously, Scheffler, fire before COVID, right? I mean, the dude is just a monster. This is a super weak field. The only thing that worries me a little bit about him and his price tag, obviously 11-4 makes it a little difficult for the builds, but we'll get into it a little bit. There's a ton of guys I like at 6K. Ton of guys, which is never a good thing, but there's a ton of guys I love in the 6K range. Scotty Scheffler at 11-4 is tough to make builds, but, he's a stud, and you just got to hope that he was doing something during the layoff, right? And keeping himself sharp. Benny Ann's going to be the lowest owned guy. I think Willie Z is probably a little too high priced again. Like, is this the hype? Like, he did fine. He shot what he needed to do. When he shot a 60, what did he shoot? 65 on Sunday to get his, top 10, to try to get that exemption. That's it for me. I mean, him, we've talked ad nauseum about him. Like, is he back? Is he back? Who knows?
Well, I mean, the slump, it might be over for him. I mean, if you look at some of his ball striking stats the last two tournaments, he's gained over 11 strokes combined tee to green his last two tournaments. In his recent form, he still has that massive week at the Wyndham. It's still pretty recent. The biggest thing, I mean, he's been kind of all over the place since the restart. One of the biggest problems he's had is with his putter, which was generally not really that much of a problem when he first really broke out. But in six of his last eight starts on Bermuda greens. He's actually recorded positive strokes gained putting. So I think there is a little bit something to the fact that he is a little better at Bermuda golf courses. So he had a close call last year. You know, he had a week off, you know, in order to rest and recuperate. You know, this could be someone, I mean, I could see him bouncing back. I mean, obviously I love Scottie Scheffler. I've been pounding the table for him for, you know, months. Yep. I was really heartbroken that both Koepka and Scottie Scheffler withdrew from the US Open, but
that was tough for you.
That was a tough week for a lot of reasons, but I mean, one of the things I referenced earlier is that there was a lot of similarities between what we saw last week in Corrales and what we're going to see this week, and that it favors longer hitters off the tee because there's a lot of holes where, yes, there's some dog legs, some narrow fairways, but there's a lot of opportunities to cut the dog legs off, really shorten up the holes. There's a lot of reachable par fives for the longer hitters that he can be able to take advantage of. And putting is usually a big difference maker at these birdie events. And he tends to ride a pretty streaky putter. It can run really hot, can run really cold. We've seen kind of these streaky longer hitters with streaky putters like Cam Champ and Sebastian Munoz. They're the last two winners there. Cody Gribble was also a longer hitter with a streaky putter way back when he won. I don't even think he's really around anymore, but that kind of fits the type of mold of player who would do well here. So listen, he's the cream of the crop in this tournament. He is by far the best player. It is pretty expensive, but like you said, the under $7,000 range isn't as gross. There's actually some legitimate PGA Tour players who deserve to be there that are priced that way this week. So it's definitely doable for him.
Yeah. I mean, really can't argue with it. Like you said, I mean, he's clearly the cream of the crop. There's a reason he's priced up that way. Just makes builds kind of tough. You know, you're gonna have to skip over an entire range, but whatever, make a couple builds, right? So do you hear about the weather? Like, it's supposed to be getting some rain this week, which might make it like a wedge fest, which might help out the shorter hitters at all. Did you get any of that this morning?
I didn't see as far as precipitation. I did see it was going to be a little cooler though. So yeah,
they think it's going to rain, and they think it might make it soft. So it might take some of the advantage away from the long hitters. Just for you guys making the builds, like maybe you want to do a bomb and gouge and then just do a short hitter just in case. Right.
Listen, historically longer hitters have done better here, but we're going to talk about a bunch of shorter hitters who also can do well here. I mean, it's a pretty weak field. There's not many guys who have this elite length off the tee. So you're not going to be able to just load on all bombers to begin with. I mean, you're going to have a pretty good mix of players in your lives this week too.
Yeah. All right. So $9,000 range, pretty big. We're not going to go through every single name here. We got some popular ones like Burns, Redmond, old guys like Zach Johnson, Long, who did good last week. And then some names that you know from Connors. I mean, he took a nice big price jump, and then a price drop rather. Ches Reavy, Luke List, Fratelli. I mean, who your favorite plays out of here? And I feel like if you're attacking that 10K range, you know, you're probably going to end up skipping over this range and dropping down to the eights.
Yeah, I mean, unless you go for Zalatoris is what, 10,200. You can probably squeeze another guy, you know, in the 9,000 range. I mean, the only problem is the guys I like in this range are the upper tier of this $9,000 range. The guys I don't really like are at the lower tier. So yeah, that makes it a little tough. I mean, I love Sam Burns. Again, I know he's going to be chalky, but you know, he played a lot better than the results showed last week.
He just had a wicked bad third round, right?
Yeah. I don't know what happened. Maybe he just hit the bar a little bit too much on Friday. Right. But I mean, rounds 1, 2, and 4, he shot 14 under combined. And then round 3 shot 78. Remember what Matthew Wolf did back at TBC Boston? He had good three rounds and then just completely crapped the bed in that third round to kind of ruin it. This is again, a golf course that, you know, I mean, theoretically suits, you know, some of his strengths. He's a good putter. He's a little longer off the tee. I think he can bounce back at this place. Doc Redman, I think he's always a pretty popular play, but he's just long enough off the tee in order to give him a little advantage. He's a pretty good putter. He's gained 1.2 strokes on the field over his last four tournaments. I like him too. Zach Johnson, Brian Harman are basically the same type of player. You know, they're okay tee to green, but they just, you know, they get really lights out with their putter. They can get to the high teen score that's needed in order to win. Both have been playing pretty well lately too, so I like them. And then, you know, just moving to the bottom of this range, it's just not a whole lot to get excited about. Corey Connors was a guy that I didn't like him last week. He proved me right. He actually, you know, broke my little slump of the big short there.
By that's right. Shot,
that's so right. That was pretty good. Luke List, I mean, I think part of the appeal last week, he played well at Corrales, but part of the appeal with DFS was that, you know, him and Corey Connors are basically the same player, but Luke List is about $1,000 Yeah. Now they're about the same price. So, I mean, there are a lot of guys who are pretty good ball strikers, can't putt, that are a little cheaper. If you just like that type this week,
there's definitely guys,
you know, go for that. And then, you know, like somebody like Ches Reavy, I mean, every time he seems like he's popular, he always, you know, disappoints people. He's not a very good fit for the golf course either. I think Dylan Fratelli is getting a little bit of buzz this week. You know, he's playing okay lately, but I don't think he's like a good fit for the golf course either. You know, other than that, I mean, Adam Long's a fine player. You know, he kind of let one get away from him last week. You know,
yeah. Look, like I said, I didn't watch a shit ton of the ride. So basically, whatever I got was secondhand from people. But, you know, people said he played well. Box score looked good. But like you said, there's no shots gained. There's nothing. Like, we have no idea how he did good, which is kind of a problem with him being priced up at 9,500.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, if you kind of look at some of the players you did last week, you got to look at just the rudimentary statistics. You know, driving distance, greens in regulation, putts per green regulation. I mean, they don't tell you much. Like, it's kind of a guessing game as far as, oh, he finished about like average in putts per green regulation. It tells you nothing. So, I mean, for a guy like Adam Long, though, good player, it really just depends on how he's going to bounce back. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, so based on ownership, Redmond, Burns, super chalky. I mean, those guys are going to be 25% or more owned. Connors is still going to get some ownership. And it looks like Reavy. Munoz looks like he's getting overlooked at that 9,900 price. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, listen, I mean, it's a defending champion, so.
I know, I always hate taking that.
Yeah, I mean, that's.
But it also makes you an idiot, too. Like, who says they can't, one has nothing to do with the other, you know what I mean? It was a year ago. Like,
yeah, and
could come
and
out and blow it away again.
He did play pretty well during the FedEx Cup playoffs. I mean, yeah. We're a couple of weeks removed from that. I think he didn't do very well at the U.S. Open, but, I mean, no one really did well at the U.S. Open. So, I mean, yeah, I just, like, I mean, he's $9,900. If I want to go that high. I mean, I like Zalatoris a little better than you this week, and he's only $300 more expensive. Sam Burns is right there at $100 less. So I think maybe just because of where he is in the pricing, I think there's just some sexier names, you know, and that's why he's overlooked.
Yeah, and I feel like, I mean, with a tournament like this, like, whatever, eat the chalk if it's a good chalk. Like, if you believe in that golfer and, you know, the stats are backing him up and you think that he's going to do it, eat the chalk. Differentiate somewhere else, right? Differentiate in the 8, 7, 6K range, right? Scattershot some guys down the 6K. Eat the good chalk. Don't just fade a play just for ownership reasons if it's the right fucking play, right? So, I mean, that makes sense to me. So the 8K range, obviously, this is funny to me. Like, you see bigger names in here, like Sergio and Stenson and shit, and they're like $1,000 less than some of these guys who I consider just, like, not great golfers, you know what I mean? And maybe it's just the name value I hold on to for some of these guys. But, yeah, so Stenson, I kind of like this week. I think maybe he's warmed up a little bit. He didn't do terrible last week. He was still top 25. They came in, warmed up the week prior to that. Maybe he's getting in a little groove, and he's clearly got the pedigree of being one of the best golfers in this field, right? And he could do it.
Yeah, I mean, like, so you talked about earlier about how it's hard to kind of figure out how these guys scored. And actually, Stenson was a guy I looked at because, you know, he finished T21. He was okay. So,
it's fine.
So I looked at just his rudimentary stats, and I honestly could not figure out how he finished T21. I mean, he was about field average. As far as putting, you know, he hit a lot of fairways, hit a lot of greens, but I mean, it doesn't really tell you all that much as far as like how he did. So
how's he on Bermuda?
I mean, typically he's pretty good. I mean, he won the Wyndham a few years ago. Right. He always plays well at Sawgrass. I think he plays pretty well at the Valspar. I mean, those are kind of like similar golf courses to this as far as like narrow fairways, iron plays a premium. So, right. So if it is going to be kind of a little bit more, you know, of an iron fest, you know, just with the weather, he's definitely right. Someone to gravitate to. I don't know. I mean, something's just kind of missing. Yeah. He's just kind of mad. I mean, just like he's getting older now.
Right.
This is a birdie fest. His putter is really hit or miss. So right.
Mostly miss.
You know, mostly miss.
Mostly miss.
Yeah. Some of the guys I like this week are guys I liked last week, just because they fit the same attributes as, you know, what Corrales was. You know, Pat Perez, you know, he played okay. I mean, he had it going for a little bit, but I think he faded a little bit on the weekend. Patrick Rogers showed pretty nicely. He was T11. I think Sunday didn't go as good for him, but he was in the mix. You know, Xinjun Zhang, you know, representing the Zhang gang pretty well. Yeah, he was a guy I like this week, and he's about $400 cheaper this week. So I think
he played well until Sunday. It sounded like, from everything that I've read and listened to, sounded like he just kind of he's another one who kind of let it get away on Sunday.
Yeah, he was hanging in the top 10 for most of the week, and then last week kind of, it got away from him. I mean, like the statistical darling of this range and probably the chalkiest play is Cam Davis at $8,100. I mean, just he fits all the attributes you want. You know, if you are building a model, he's right there. And I think that's like there's not really any narratives driving his ownership. I think just people are just smarter now as far as what the resources they use. And I think they see that he has been playing pretty well lately. He a lot of the attributes needed to play well in this tournament that works there. You know, he tends to, check a lot of boxes. For me, I mean it's a really high ownership just because of he is very boom bust. This could go very wrong. I've seen it go very wrong when his ownership has been really high. Yeah. So from a betting perspective, I like him more than DFS. He'll still make his way into a couple lines because I can differentiate a little bit, but just buyer beware because it could go very wrong for you.
Very quickly. Yes. Very quickly too. He does have those blow up holes. That was like your boy Gordon, who initially fucked me last weekend, four putting the first hole. I was like, yep, there we go. Good stat.
Screw. I mean, was that even real? The scoreboard was so messed up that whole week.
Yeah, it's fake. That's what I was banking on too. I was like, maybe these scores will change by the end of the day. No, they did not.
It did dramatically in the first round. We saw some guys who were supposedly first round leader and then dropped to -1 after they got to the scoring time. What the hell is going on?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, whatever, they're manually putting it in. There's probably a language barrier down there too. Like, who fucking knows? Like, whatever. Yeah, I thought it was hilarious. It was probably the most entertaining thing of the tournament was watching people freak the fuck out on Twitter on Thursday about their first round leader bets fucking going to poof, God, just like that.
Yeah, like a guy I was kicking myself on Thursday was Chris Kirk, because I kind of liked him, but I didn't go in, and I saw he was like -7. Like, oh man, I should have. And then all of a sudden, they posted the final score and dropped to -1.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think he didn't even make the weekend either.
He didn't. So yeah, that was probably the most entertaining thing for me, is just watching people freak out on Thursday, because misery loves company, and I lost all my money by Friday. So there's other guys to get to in here. You don't want anything to do with Sergio. I mean, he's a putt and shit show. I don't know. I feel like a hard pass on him. Siwoo. I mean, it's a roller coaster like always with that dude, but.
I mean, has the bubble burst on him?
I mean, I feel like it kind of did the week you called it. Like, he didn't do well that week. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I think it's like you said, he is very up and down, and you know when he's riding hot,
putting his irons, he's sticking everything within 4 fucking feet every single hole. You know what I mean? But then when he's not, it's nowhere close to 4 feet.
No, so, it's not pretty then. So I think maybe you let other people go his direction.
Yeah. I mean, he's fine for a GPP, right? Because if he does get high, you do want a little piece of him. But I wouldn't overweight your lineups with him at all. He's kind of low ownership too, so that kind of makes me want to jump on. Low ownership.
I don't know. I saw him around 10%, which is, I mean, a lot of these guys aren't very chalky in this range, but I think that was one of the higher ones in this range. I mean, it's not outrageous or crazy, but
So so he's sitting at, as I say that, so the Tuesday night numbers, he was sitting at 8 yesterday, and now he's at 12. So, whatever. Yeah. Pat Perez is sitting at 6, though.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think a lot of the guys, I think Patrick Rogers might have a little higher ownership, but Pat Perez is someone who probably is going to see an ownership dip, because I think he was pretty high last week. So, what's that?
Did Bud Cauley withdraw?
Did he? That's news to me.
Yeah, me too. So I was just looking at the ownership. It says WD next to his name. So I think he's out.
That's too bad. He was playing well lately.
Yeah,
I mean, he's not really a good quote unquote course fit, because he's not very long. He's not a very good putter, but he was playing well lately. That's too bad.
Yeah, that's funny. Cause I was like, all right. Cause he was sitting at kind of low ownership earlier, and then it was like, and now it's at 1. I'm like, what? Oh, withdraw. Mm. Ooh. Okay. All right. So we don't need to talk about him. So Zhang Gang, I guess give me your two favorite out of here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still really high on Patrick Rogers. I'll talk about him a little bit later. And then, probably Xinjun Zhang. I've always had a soft spot for him. So even though he's a pretty big cheater, if you know his past history.
No. Fill me in. What?
No. So basically, he was accused of changing scorecards multiple times when he was playing over the PGA Tour of China, and I think he was suspended for 6 months. over there. They call him the
somebody wasn't forcing him to do that with his family at gunpoint in China. I mean, how can you blame that specific guy, man?
I mean, I don't know the specific circumstances, but apparently they used to call him the bad boy of golf over there.
Really?
Yeah.
That is a dangerous country to be doing anything like that. They're just sending some fucking kindergarten teacher to death today. I think she poisoned some kids or something. So there's your random news fact from Capper. Sorry.
Wow, this took a really dark turn. Guys, we're a light golf podcast. Come on, man.
Listen, man. It's COVID. The fucking debate is about to, is literally like 2 minutes started. Like I can already hear the noise in my living room and I'm like, it's fucking, I just want this fucking year to be over, Steve. That's what I want.
We're on to Cincinnati, guys.
Fucking old dickbag DeSantis down here is literally opening everything up. Like all the bars are packed. Fucking no masks. It's like, yep, here we go. Fucking Florida. Yay. So
what's the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing over and over. That's and then, crazy. You know.
Dude, the like the videos all over Twitter, all these fucking idiots packed in the bars like sardines, fucking sweating and spitting all over each other. I was like, fuck. I was like, this is not a political podcast. But guess what? A mask isn't political, assholes. Wear a fucking mask. All right, that's it.
We're going to get a 1-star rating now. Thanks, buddy.
Whatever, man, I don't care. All right, man. So before we start getting into the 7 and 8K range, we're going to go ahead and talk to you about BetQL, right? So their best bet algorithm scans thousands of data points to give you the best bet recommendation for every game and gives you the reason why you should place the bet. It also shows you the top best bets that have been the most profitable to make sure that you're cashing in. BetQL has sharp data for the MLB, NBA, and NHL and NFL. So if you want an inside edge for who the pros are backing, you need to check out BetQL. If you live in Jersey, Pennsylvania, Indiana, Colorado, or West Virginia, you can claim exclusive offers for Sportsbook and use BetQL's data to make the right bets. Head over to the App Store or Google Play Store to download BetQL. You can also head to betql.co, enter code SGP20 for 20% off your first subscription. All right, so this is like this is the range where I feel like there's a lot of value, right? 7-6K range. Like I feel like lots of value, lots of at least name recognition, some guys that are playing good that I feel like we can get some, you know, get some good stands down here, man, at the price.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think kind of like last week, I like the $7,000 to $8,000 range a little better than the $8,000 to $9,000 range. And, you know, it's basically a trend continues this week. A lot of guys I liked last week are now down in this range, and I like them for the same reasons, even though they didn't play as well last week. You know, I'm willing to give them a pass for last week and, you know, move forward. So, you know, Sepp Straka, $7,700. You know, he started off really good at Punta Cana. He was first round leader. I think he ended up finishing at -7. So he just, really, the next three rounds just basically did nothing. Looking at some of the stats from the tournaments, you know, his putting stats were about average. You know, it wasn't too great. He missed a lot of greens in relation to everybody else, but he still hit about 69% clip. And I mean, they're pretty easy hit greens, so it's not all that impressive. So he'll need to show better there, but still has a lot of the attributes I'm looking for. Long hitter, really good putter. I'm going to go back to him this week. Tom Lewis, I don't think he's going to have a lot of ownership just because he's been pretty bad lately. But if you're looking for a guy who's pretty long hitter, you know, can, you know, get kind of decently hot with a putter, tends to play pretty well in Bermuda. He did finish T2 in Memphis at the WGC. So he does have a little bit of upside there. Like him too. Taylor Gooch, he's been very boomer
Gooch.
Yeah, I mean, he's been very boomer bust. He's got 4 top 25 finishes in his last 8 starts, but he also has 3 missed cuts. I mean, like, you know, I mean, he's got enough length for the golf course, decent enough putter. You know, he's also demonstrated to be in the mix at a lot of times in the past, like, year and a half. I remember seeing him, like, you know, on Saturday or Sunday, kind of be in the upper half of the leaderboard there.
Right.
So, I mean, in a weaker field, you know, I kind of picture him as the type of guy who might, you know, kind of end up winning, like, one of these silly season events. So he's a candidate.
Silly season events. That's the episode. That is the name of the episode, man. You just did it. We're not just doing an episode, whatever the hell we're on. We're doing silly season events.
I mean, get ready for like another like 7 or 8 of these this fall.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean,
listen.
All of them are silly seasons.
Listen, but I feel like this is the time where, you know, look, well, granted, you're not getting your soft money typically in these golf contests, right? But this is a time where you can you definitely make your bets, right? Because bookmakers aren't paying attention to this fucking tournament when they're laying their numbers. They have so much action with college football, NBA, NFL, everything. everything going on right now, like this is when you catch them sleeping. This is when you get a good number. You find the value and you attack in this type of shit. And we use our degenerate beings by doing this, doing the research and data and everything else that nobody else is doing right now. And you take advantage of it when you can take advantage of it. You take advantage of the books. DFS, this is not, like I said, there's not going to be any soft money in DFS right now because nobody's getting into this that isn't a golf nerd. But, you know, it's the same thing. I mean, you can still grind and make some money in this type of stuff.
Well, yeah, definitely. And like we said last week, I mean, if you do your homework and kind of really study the golf course and how it plays, and, you know, you can definitely get a group of guys who probably are a little undervalued compared to the market and, you know, ride that.
Right. Yeah, I agree. All right. So I like Gooch just because of his name. I think that's really one of the reasons why I saw him on like a Saturday and I was like, ah, Gooch. All right, let's go. Let me follow this dude. It's that simple for me to become a fan of you. But yeah, you're right. He's playing well. Tringali is somebody who I really like. I've heard a lot of buzz about him, everything I've read. I mean, he pops in all the models. So I don't know. Talk to me a little about Tringali.
No, he definitely does. He's one of these attribute darlings. He's a longer hitter. He's a good putter. I mean, surprisingly, he's never won on the professional level in any level, like not even on the Korn Ferry Tour. And he's been around for a decade. So, I mean, yeah, he hasn't won a single tournament as a professional. You know, some of these silly season events, that's where guys kind of break out. And it seems like he's due, though. So,
dude, that's a long time to go without winning. That's like your, I don't know. I mean, whatever, man. Look, he's obviously fucking good enough that he's still on the tour after 10 years, right? So,
yeah, I
guess we don't really need him to win at 7,300.
No, you don't. You need like a top 10. I mean, I think his odds are like 80-1 or 100-1 this week. So, if you want to throw like a little, you know, random, like, you know, what the hell bet at him, I think you can do that. You know, right below him too is another guy I liked last week, didn't play very well, Christopher Ventura. I'm gonna go back to well with him again. I like him for the same reasons I liked him last week. I think he just didn't have a very good tournament. He'll need to putt better, hit his irons better than we did last week. I think he can do that and bounce back, so I'll go with him there. I had a long conversation with Will Gordon this week.
Yeah, he called him up. Had a sun chat.
Yeah, I called the hitman and I called him off. I said, we don't need to, you know, do that. I'll, you know, can you refund me my Bitcoin so we can cancel that transaction. But yeah, listen, he was absolutely horrendous in Punta Cana. Did not get out to a good start. He's $7,100 bucks this week. He's gonna be a lot less owned. I'm willing to forgive and, you know, maybe ride him not as heavily as I did last week, but. You know, I'll still recommend again. And then JB Holmes is $7,000. I mean, he's been really quiet this year just because he was injured. He had the shoulder injury. Played at the Safeway a couple weeks ago. Had some really good ball striking numbers. Didn't putt very well. I mean, he's got winning upside. I mean, we've seen him do it. If he's at his best, he's probably one of the most accomplished players in this range.
Yeah.
And, you know, he kind of fits a profile, a little bit of a player who would do well here. So I think, you know, $7,000, he's definitely going to make some lineups of mine this week.
I refuse to play him because of how fucking slow he plays.
Well, I mean, you're not going to watch this tournament anyways, right?
Well, that's fair. But here's what I do, which is funny. This is like, so like if you guys are doing showdowns or whatever, like whenever the pairings come out, who's playing with them? Like you can look to shoot, like they're going to shoot over because these guys are not used to playing this slow. You see his partners like melt down and do not play well because of how long he takes and it throws them out of their rhythm. It's not a bad strategy. Like it's really not. you can be like, oh, he's playing with him. He's not in my DFS pool anymore. Like it really does. It messes these guys up.
Yeah. I think someone actually did a study of what his playing partner's scoring average was. And it was definitely above average on the PGA Tour. Just, I mean, he does put everybody on tilt. I think, you know, he put JT on tilt.
Oh yeah.
I know he put Brooks Koepka.
Brooks was fucking pissed.
I will say I'm definitely not a fan of JB at all. I think one of the best highlights I've ever seen of him was when he was in contention at the Open Championship in 2019 and then just hooked one straight out of bounds, the opening tee shot, and on his way to, I think, at 86 to go from second to like 63rd on the final day. That's a lot of pounds and euros that he lost.
Yeah, for real. Oh, that almost makes me feel bad for the dude. That's a lot of fucking, that's a lot of cake to lose. Drop that much in a tournament. I don't think there's any real fades in this area, right? I mean, the ownership's so spread out around here. The highest owned guy is going to be Tringali based on projections. other than that, pick your guy, make your stand, and you know, you can even sprinkle in a couple, like I said. All right, so under 6K last week was fucking gross. This week, I like a lot of guys, which is never, ever good. That I'm like, ooh, yeah, he's good. But, I mean, Wes Bryan, Shank, who I liked last week, who you talked me off.
Well, like, guess what? Guess where? I know, where did he finish?
It doesn't matter. He made the cut.
Yeah, all right. All right, congratulations.
Maybe I would have been cast instead of blanked.
Yeah. See,
yeah.
I think then, when you ripped me on Slack, I think he was like minus five at that point.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was plus one from that very
I know. I'm aware.
So calm down.
Yeah, whatever. I was mad about it at the moment. I don't know if you know this about me, but I pretty much just act before I think about anything. Everything's a big deal at that moment. and then we got Duffner. I love Duffner. Me and Tommy followed him around one year at TPC with his girlfriend, followed him around. He's a pretty funny dude, and I've been rooting for that dude ever since his collapse, man. Like, had this hot, smoking hot wife. All of it, like, looks like worse than I do. You know what I mean? And he's like, he's out there with the smoking hot wife, winning majors. All of a sudden, divorce starts happening. His game goes to shit. So I root for that dude just because I'm like, come on, man. Like, get back to where you were. You know what I mean? That type of stuff. I love Duff. And he's been playing good lately, man. I think he's a gem down here. Davis Riley. Apparently, he's Will Z Light. I'm not going to pretend like I fucking have ever watched him play.
I mean, that's even disrespectful. I think he's a very good player. He had basically just as good of a year on the Korn Ferry Tour as Zalatoris did. The difference is Zalatoris finished T6 of the U.S. Open, and Davis Riley got completely blown out to sea at Wingfoot. But I mean,
Wingfoot, you know, like, yeah, I mean, how are you going to hold that against a kid? You know what I mean?
No,
like,
you can't. I mean, he's basically the same type of player. He's a really long hitter, good iron player. He's actually a little better putter than Zalatoris was on the Korn Ferry Tour. So, you know, I mean, that's a guy, I mean, I'm going to like this week. I'm a little worried just because, like, it's going to get to the point where you have all these pundits and experts be like, oh, you know, Davis Riley.
Yeah.
You know, they think they're being edgy, but then they're actually turning him into chalk just by.
Yeah, dude, he's already at fucking 10% projected.
Wow, really?
It happens fast. Life comes at you fast. Yeah, let me check, actually.
A lot of copycats there. I mean, like, listen, I agree with Jason Duffner. Like, I have a soft spot for him, too, just because he won his major in my hometown. I saw him do it here at Oak Hill. Yeah, I mean, listen, he played great that tournament. Unfortunately, that was the birth of the Baba Booey guy, was the 2013 PGA Championship. Oh, my, that was a miserable fan experience. That was the worse. It was Baba Booey guy, Master Tail guy. And I remember because I went home for the final round because I wanted to watch the afternoon. And poor Jim Furyk on 15 laced this tee shot. And I think he was only like one back. And one guy screamed mashed potatoes in the middle of his backswing. And the look he shot the camera, he just looked around and just this puzzled, disgusted look. It was it was so bad all week. But anyways, back to Duffner. I mean, you're right. He has gained one stroke per round on the field over his last four tournaments. The only one of the only red flags with him is he's an awful putter, and his last tournament he gained like five shots on the field putting. So, you know me with my putting regression. Oh, yeah. I'm gonna say that, but I mean, listen, he's an accomplished golfer.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, he's actually, you know, unlike a lot of guys we saw last week in this range, he actually deserves being on the PGA Tour, so I like him too. You know, Mark Harbert, I mean, he's someone who I think is going to win one of these fall series events. He hasn't been playing well lately, but I could see him kind of showing well here. I like the talent with him. You know, he's pretty good. You know, Wes Bryan, you mentioned him. He is chalky, so that's a little dangerous, but the price tag is really good just because
6,300, bro.
Yeah. So if you want to build a shuffler lineup, putting Wes Bryan in there, yeah, that is really good.
And that's why he's going to be chalk, right? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Because
people who are going to be doing that go down there and look, they're like, oh, Wes Bryan, which is fine, whatever. If he's a good play, it's a good play. And I think he's seriously mispriced. 6,300. Like,
yeah, I mean, like, his ball striking number is pretty good. The problem is it's such a limited sample size. So, I mean, it could really go either way. But, you know, so some other, like, swing and miss, boom, bust guys. Probably got some low ownership types. You know, a Doug Gim, a Bo Hogue, Nick Watney, Wyndham Clark.
I'm never playing Bo Hogue, bro. Ever.
He's been playing well lately.
I don't care.
He's a poor man's Taylor Gooch.
Although Bo Hogue in Mississippi might play well. I have no idea if he's from the South, but he sounds like he could be from Mississippi.
He sounds like an Auburn fan.
He does sound like an Auburn fan.
Yeah.
Is he? Is
he I have no, I have no idea. I have no idea, but he sounds like someone who would be an Auburn fan.
Hello. Let's go.
Maybe you can be paired with Jason Duffner. They can chat about the Tigers. And anyway, so like, you know, some other guys, you know, Wyndham Clark, Keith Mitchell, Scott Harrington, he actually started out pretty well at the corrals last week, kind of faded. JJ Spawn, Aaron Wise. I mean, like, I've always been a sucker for him just because I saw him win the Byron Nelson a couple of years ago. He won the NCAA, came into the PGA Tour with so much hype. Yeah. And just, I don't know what happened to him. He's just been really bad. Like, I think he's
golf's hard.
Golf is hard, as we both know. Golf is hard. But I think he's missed like six of the last seven cuts. But the one cut he made, he finished like T8 at the Barracuda. Yeah,
I mean, and look, all these guys are scratch tickets anyway down here, except for Killer Keith, man. He's another guy who is fucking grossly mispriced. It's on Bermuda. I play Killer Keith blindly on Bermuda all the time.
Was he bad last week, though? Didn't he miss a cut?
I don't remember. I had so many guys. I mean, that's possible.
That was past Pollen, though.
Exactly.
So it's not Bermuda.
It's not Bermuda. I don't know. I made some money with Keith Mitchell, so he holds a spot in my heart. And so he's a guy that always looks at me. I like Nate Watney too. His sister's super hot. Used to be the sideline reporter for the Red Sox before she moved to the MLB Network. He had the COVID scare, and he was playing good before that too, right? What has he done since he come back from COVID?
Honestly, not much. I mean, he doesn't really pop from a stats standpoint as far as recent form or long-term form, but he is one of those guys, he's a longer hitter, a good putter. Yeah. So if you're looking for one of those cookie cutter golf course fits, yeah, you know, he kind of fits the mold.
Hey, man, like I said, scratch off down here just to fit in the big guys up top that we like. You can go real stars and scrubs. I mean, you can do two 10K plus players and two 6K players, and you can still make a decent lineup out of it, you know, if one of these guys makes it through the cut.
I mean, like last week, the Corrales, like there really was no such thing as stars and scrubs because they're all kind of scrubs. This week, there are actual legitimate stars right up there that you could do that.
Yeah, I mean, everybody above 10K. I mean, really, if you think about it, like, I mean, you can dip down to the nines. Like this legit like PGA talent in that price range. You know what I mean? Like the good golfers. So
for sure,
pay up for them. Figure out the rest.
Yeah, you're not fighting for Grayson Murray at $6,800.
Oh, God,
I think he finished dead last week.
Yeah, what the fuck? How is he $6,800 and Brian $6,300? It makes no sense. I don't understand the algorithm sometimes. I'm like, whatever, good. It gives us some inefficiencies that we can take advantage of, but like that's weird. Like, and there's some weird price drops this week too. I don't know if we really tackled any of them, but there's definitely guys who dropped for no apparent reason who did better last week, and all of a sudden their price is lower in basically the same field. So whatever. What it is. All right. So before we get to the betting section you do your big short, I want to let you know that we're brought to you by Ace Per Head. Have you ever thought about starting your own sports book but don't know how? Ace Per Head is there to help you start your own sports book. They'll provide you with an all-inclusive professional betting site with all the lines updated to the second and wagers graded immediately. They have top-notch customer support going 24/7 with some of the sharpest lines in the industry. Plus, Ace Per Head offers live betting and an amazing mobile experience. Get started today, and Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free. Just go to Ace Per Head.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. All right, man. So you hit on your big short last week.
I did. Finally. Off the schneid.
Off the schneid, baby. That's it. Slump buster. You brought home the 350-pound girl from the bar. That's it. Let's go.
All right. I mean, if we're going to compare.
That's what a slump buster is, man.
Well, I mean, so as far as my big short this week, we mentioned him as I think the bubbles burst on him. And I mean, this isn't like a huge short. There's not really a whole lot of guys that like I've like up at the top there I'm really bearish for. But, you know, Siwoo Kim, I see his ownership, you know, like you said, climbing above that 10% range. I think some people are kind of remembering a little too fondly about what he did at the Wyndham and, you know, some of the good tournaments he had back then. Has been very good lately. Doesn't have that great of a history at Country Club of Jackson either. I think that's going to be a guy who probably bombs out of the tournament early and ends up missing the cut. So he's my big short this week.
All right. That makes me sad inside.
Womp, womp.
Womp, womp, womp. All right. So who do you like for your outrights?
Well, I mean, I'm going to go back to Sam Burns again, just because he fits the golf course, and I'm going to ignore round three last week at the Corrales. I think that was a little bit of a fluke. The guy's really talented. I think he can win on the PGA Tour. He's got all the tools needed to do it. You know, Cam Davis, I like more from a betting perspective instead of a DFS perspective. I think he's around 55-160
yeah.
to one.
Yeah, he's
at the end of the day,
now.
The guy
has.
Yeah, I mean, the guy is really talented. He's a young player too. He won, I think, the Australian Open as like a teenager, which was a really good Aussie tournament with a bunch of good names in it. So, I mean, the guy has a lot of potential. I like him too. Patrick Rogers played well last week. I think he can play well again this week. He's a guy who has been around the block. Seems like he probably should have won a tournament right now. Yeah. And I think he can do it. Taylor Gooch is 101. I think we mentioned that, like, he's been in the mix a lot. Eventually, I think he's going to knock down the door. I like him too. And then JB Holmes. I know we both hate him, but he's 150-1 this week.
Yeah.
And I mean, for
his caliber. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, listen, it's not that tough of a field. If he's really over the shoulder injury, if he can putt a little better into the Safeway, I think he could definitely win this week.
Yeah. So for my longer shots, we didn't talk about him in DFS, but Keegan is definitely, everybody knows I love Keegs. Keegs is 101, posted in this 110-1. Like both of those guys. I just think, I don't know, whatever, dude. I mean, you're taking long odds here. You're throwing your bullets. I like Zhang at 55-1. I like Davis 55-1, and Redmond at 33-1. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I like all those picks, except for Keegan. I mean, that's just from.
Don't you say you don't like Keegan, man? Come on, man. I was nice to you about your Giants.
You were nice.
You hear how angry I am today, and I was nice about your Giants.
He's Keegan is a great ball striker.
Yeah, exactly. Good long iron player.
There you go.
Nothing else, really. All right, man. I guess that's it. Kind of a short one this week. Not much to talk about.
Wait, do you have any like matchups or any positional props at all?
All right. See, look at me.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Go ahead. I'm pulling mine up now. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, so it worked out last week. So there's a couple guys whose outright odds were a little short for my, for my taste, but I bet them on top 10. So, last week it worked out with Mackenzie Hughes. This week I'm going to go with Scottie Scheffler. He's 10-1 to win the tournament. Early season tournament that just doesn't have as big stakes, but you can get a top 10 at +140 on him. So I like that. Sepp Straka, I'm not going to go with the outright win just because that might've been a little ambitious, to do that in this tournament. There's a little better guys in this tournament than last week, but you get him top 20 +350. I like that too. And as far as matchups go, Charles Schwartzel is playing pretty well lately. I mean, he's got that weird, goofy PXG putter. It looks like he got put on backwards. It was just like one of those,
a used sports store that got glued back together.
It was an error in one of at the factory store. So they'd say like a deep discount on my golf bidder or something. Yes. But anyways, you get him +1.5 strokes over Nick Taylor. I think Nick Taylor is a favorite over him just because he's won the Sanderson before, but he's been playing kind of garbage lately. So I like getting 1.5 strokes on him. And then Sepp Straka +1.5 strokes. I'm going to go back to, I'm a little too heavy on Sepp Straka apparently, but exactly. That never goes wrong at all. But I'm going to get him +1.5 strokes over Tom Lewis. I like Tom Lewis, but just looking at his overall short-term trends, not very good. I think Sepp Straka can at least keep it within a shot and a half of him, during the tournament.
Cool. I like it. It's not bad. I like Rogers over McCarthy, just the straight money line. 135, whatever. It's not too bad. Juices to juice. But I like, where'd it go? I like, I had it written down. I like him over your boy Scheffler. And I think I'm getting like +160. Where the hell did it go?
That's not bad. I like Sungjae this week.
Yeah, so I like just because it's like, all right. So it's like, all right. He's on a break. Like maybe he comes back a little rusty. I think M needed the fucking week off. Whatever. I'm getting plus money for two of the best golfers up there. That'll be fun to watch. But I absolutely like Scotty over Willie Z at 1.5 strokes. I'm only paying 10.
Okay.
So I am fading the Willie Z narrative, at least on the betting card. Still be in my DFS shit. But other than that, that's pretty much what I like. Anything else to add, man? Come to the Slack channel, right? I mean, that's about it. Steve's dropping knowledge like
serious knowledge for showdown slates every single week.
Last week I didn't because I had nothing to work with.
Well, yeah, we're supposed to do that.
But this week we'll be back.
This
week I'll actually have the strokes gain data, so I can actually properly break down where the field is. I mean, otherwise I'm just saying, oh, who hit the most greens, you know, today? That provides nothing. So yeah. No, I'll be back this week on Thursday, Friday with guys who got lucky with how they scored, guys who got unlucky, some type of plays you maybe want to play in a showdown lineup or even a matchup play, you know, for one round.
Yeah, we talk about live bets on there as well. Seriously, the Slack channel is awesome. It's not just us in there. There's a bunch of sharp dudes in there. A bunch of guys hitting first round leader bets, doing all types. So come join Slack channel. Listen, we know it's fucking football season and we know these are shitty tournaments, but listen, you can still make money at golf and it's still fun. So tell your friends to, you know, rate, subscribe, listen, tell us if we're good or not. Money is money. And I feel like this is where you can get an advantage when everybody else is paying attention to football. You focus on this and make your money. I don't give a fuck how I make my money. I just want to make money. So that's what we're trying to do. You can hit me up at Boston_Capper on Twitter. Other than that, you know, green screens, everybody. Let's go.